The Word of God. We're going to read it today, and we're going to think about these things. We're going to put it into practice throughout the week because we love Jesus, and we know that He's here with us at this very moment, helping us to do these things. Let's pray to Him as we begin it. We begin. Father, we do thank You for Your love for us. Thanks for giving us the bread of life from heaven, words from Your very mouth that are to be placed in our hearts by Your Spirit to be useful and to be helpful to us in our lives. Lord, we just pray that we'll take Your word seriously today. We'll put it in that deep place and we'll think about these things as we walk with You throughout the week. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. We've been studying through 2 Timothy, and now we're ready for this part. It's on 996 in a Pew Bible. It's the ESV translation of the Bible, New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. The Word of God says, "Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." I think the main idea of this passage is today is how to be useful for God. How to be useful for God. And keep in mind as we read through this passage today, it's not mainly about salvation. That's necessary, of course. But this is living a godly life. Living a life that's useful to God. That's what we want, isn't it? You know, every Christian should have a desire to be used by God in whatever way God chooses. And Paul outlines this for his child in the faith, Timothy, how to live as a man of God or as a woman of God, too. You can put this into practice. There's no problem there. And this chapter 2, has four main commands as you read through it. First command I found in verse 1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's verse 1. And you see that repeated on our sign out front. It's by grace you have been saved and not by works. It's all about grace. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Secondly, verse 8, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. The message we have is about the resurrection. That Jesus rose from the dead, and He promises that to us too as we follow Him, as we believe in Him. Thirdly, verse 14, keep reminding them of these things. Keep reminding them of these things in chapter 2, especially how to be a man of God, how to serve Him. And today we're going to look at the final command that we find in verses 20 through 22. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And you know, we're going to spend 2 weeks talking about this because, you know, a lot of Paul's letters start out pretty theological in nature. And then you get towards the last 2 chapters of these books, it gets really, really practical. So you don't really want to rush through these things. You really want to give people time to think about what Jesus is saying there, and give them time to think about how they should be applying these things to their lives. So next week, we'll be looking at How to Be Useful for God, Part 2, that will continue and finish Chapter 2. As I read these three verses, I found three questions about being useful for God. Three questions about being useful for God. First question I found, according to verse 20, is, what do we find in the church? Verse 20 says this, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for noble purposes and some for ignoble purposes. You know, there are all kinds of teachers in the church. And we have to define some of these terms in verse 20. You know, verse 20 is kind of like a riddle. You know, if you don't understand what those words are talking about, then you're not going to understand anything in verses 20 through 22. Well, a large house refers to the professing church that's everywhere. Everyone who says they belong to Jesus Christ, that is the large house that's talked about in verse 20. And verse 20 also talks about, articles. Maybe your Bible says vessels. These are, and also utensils, these are individual believers, people who have trusted Christ as Lord. And it's going to go back and forth between talking about a house and the things you find in a house, and also referring to people as they follow Jesus. So you have impersonal and personal things meant in this passage. So that is the illustration that Paul is using, and we have to understand that. Articles in a house, you know, what do you find in a house? You find jars, you find dishes, you find furniture, you find tools. So there are many different types of articles or vessels that we find in a house, just like we find in the body of Christ, don't we? We're all unique. There are no robots here among us. We're all different, prepared by God for different works of service. There are two types of articles or vessels, two ways that they're used, two ways of using these articles or vessels. It talks about noble vessels or noble articles. These have much value, usually gold and silver. So it refers to them as being golden or silver. So they're very, very expensive things, like crystal goblets or silver platters. And, you know, these things are the things we put on display in our house. We want people to see them. They're valuable for doing the very best things. In our house, it's our Czech dishes that we have. You know, we have a cupboard, and we have Czech dishes there, and we use those like twice a year. And, you know, when you're done using them, they never go in the dishwasher. You know, they're always individually washed and polished and then put away for the next time that we use them. So those are the noble articles. And it also mentions ignoble articles. They have little value, and they're made of wood or clay. Think of them as like trash cans, or chamber pots, or compost buckets, or duct tape. You know, it's useful, but it's not your finished job. You're not going to use this, leave this set there for people to come in and admire. You might use it for a while, but it's not going to help you overall. So you don't put that kind of stuff on display. It's hidden. And, you know, we take out the garbage with those kind of things for ignoble purposes. And, you know, maybe, you know, the Bible here in chapter 2 talks about good soldiers, competitive athletes, and hardworking farmers. Those are noble articles, noble people. And ignoble people would be cowardly soldiers or lazy athletes or farmers that just don't get it done. You just know, for one reason or another, you just don't get it done. And you can see that as you drive past their house. You know, the focus in verse 20 is on the value or quality of the vessel or article. Things made of wood or pottery will do what? They'll chip, they'll break, and they'll need to be replaced. Gold or silver things are never destroyed. It's talking here about good teachers and bad teachers, false teachers. False teachers will arise and have to be replaced. Gold and silver-like teachers are never destroyed. You know, I was at a conference a couple weeks ago, and I was in this session, and for some reason it came up about a TV preacher who was preaching that, you know, we have to become unhitched from the Old Testament. You know, it's like you don't use the Old Testament. The church has to get away from the Old Testament somehow to become unhitched. And before the professor who was leading this seminar could say anything, there was a lady down front and said, "That guy's a heretic." You know, so we all got it before he even said anything. You know, it's wrong. Even though this guy at one time was a good teacher, suddenly he's walked away from the truth, and he's become a person who needs to be replaced. That's false teaching. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be fully equipped for every good work." The Old Testament is God's Word. The New Testament is God's Word. We need it all. We can't become unhitched from it. We need it. And that's what we find in the church. You find good teachers, solid good teachers, and then you find some guys who need to be replaced. Second question, how can we be sure that we are an instrument for noble purposes? Look at verse 21. "If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work." Notice this verse starts with this little word, if. And if is conditional. It depends upon other things happening. And again, it's not about salvation, but the idea is about growth and as a Christian and usefulness to God as a Christian. And it talks about cleansing ourselves, making a commitment to God, a lasting commitment to God. And the Holy Spirit guides us through this process that we go with Him. You know, this word cleansing is a very strong word. It's like thoroughly scrubbed or disinfected. You know, I was working on Friday with Bruce, and we painted those poles out there that are the entrance into our parking lot, and we used oil-based paint for that. He had some at home. You know, I got that stuff over my hands, and I couldn't get that off. I went in the bathroom in here, and I scrubbed, and I scrubbed, and I scrubbed. I couldn't get that off until I used some paint thinner and got rid of it. I had to thoroughly scrub those hands to get rid of that junk. And we need to be doing that stuff with the Word of God, with obeying the Holy Spirit, so that we can be useful to God. And there are four noble results that are listed in verse 21. We'll be a vessel for honor. We'll serve an honorable role. Not duct tape, but an impact wrench. Big difference, isn't there? You know, we got home this last week from a vacation, and some sparrows built their nest in our spouting. I hate heights. You know, it's 20 feet above the ground, and the water is running out of my spouting over the side of my house, the siding of my house, and ruining the siding. So now I have to repaint the siding of my house. And then when that water is done there, then it runs into the basement and ruins the basement. You know, we need a new foundation in our house because of these birds. So Cindy held on to the ladder, And I went up there and stuck my hand in the end of that leaf guard and somehow got a hold of that nest and pulled it out. And I didn't have any way to keep the birds from going back in there. So I put a screen up there. I wrapped that duct tape over that so that it'll you know, drain out for a while before I put a screen, you know, like a strainer in the end of that place. It's a vessel for honor that will serve in an honorable way. I'm not going to leave the duct tape there. You know, I've got a better thing I'm going to put in there. And everybody then that walks past my house would say, yeah, that's an honorable way that he'd fix that spouting. A vessel for honor. Secondly, sanctified or made holy. Set apart for a specific purpose. You know, I have a lug wrench in my back of my car. I've got a nice one. You know, it has four different parts that I can use, four different nuts. You know, I don't use that lug wrench for anything else, like hit my neighbor in the head. I don't do that. It's only for taking tires off the car. And also in my car, I carry one of these things. And it's a very helpful thing, you know, when you don't know how much air you got in your tire. You put that right on your valve, and it pops out and tells you, hey, you only got 30 pounds of pressure in your car. You need 32 for those tires. And I don't use this for anything else. You know, I don't use this to, like, measure the water pressure in my valves. I don't use it to measure the amount of pressure I have in a balloon. It's set apart for a specific purpose. And that's a noble result that should happen from this cleansing. Thirdly, we should be useful for the master, valuable. You know, we should become a high quality tool that's valued by the owner. You know, growing up, my dad had a special hammer, not like this one. You know, my mom and my dad built their own house, and my dad went out and spent, you know, a lot of money on a good hammer, so that would sing, you know, when he would pound those spikes into the walls that would become our house. And we could borrow that hammer, but if you ever lose that hammer, he'd come after you. He'd say, what did you boys do with my hammer? You get out to that treehouse right now, and you bring that hammer back in. Why? Because it was valuable to him. It was special. It was useful to him. And that's the way we should be. And fourthly, prepared for every good work. Prepared for every good work. And the tense there in the Greek verb means to be eager, means to be always prepared and ready for action at any moment. Boy, I got so much stuff up here. All right. Well, the first question had to deal with what do we find in the church? The second question is how should we be sure that we're an instrument for noble purpose? You know, a week or so ago, I went to Momentum. And, you know, I was so impressed by the Operation Barnabas teams that were there. They were eager to serve. They had confessed their sins. You know, they'd even laid their phones aside for 3 weeks. You know, they said, I'm not going to have anything to do with that. Maybe one time a day or so. But, I mean, they threw it apart. And they had some training. They did some things that, you know, were hard for them. They got them out of their comfort zone. And, you know, every day during Momentum, they would go out and they would lead us in prayer at 7:30 in the morning. It was hot. And we were all kneeling down on the cement. And there were about 200, 250 kids that were there. And we would pray about all kinds of things. We'd pray about, you know, the salvation of kids. We'd pray about the speakers that would speak. We'd pray about decisions that were going to be made. And, you know, that evening, I really shouldn't have been surprised by this. But there were about 300 or 400 kids that made decisions to either rededicate their lives or trust Christ as their Savior that evening. You know, it was really special. You know, we were like sitting in the seventh or eighth row from the front on the right side with our group from our church here. And I looked across, and the guy gave the invitation. It was like the whole crowd moved forward. It was like, boom. You know, it was like a bulldozer just pushed everybody forward, and they were all on their knees. They were all crying and confessing their sins and talking about, you know, wanting to be a better Christian, not just an average Christian, but a better Christian, a better follower of Jesus. And people kept coming from the back until there wasn't any room up front anymore. There were 2,300 kids, over 2,300 people that were there, and about 350, 400 went forward and rededicated their lives to Christ that evening. You know, the kids that were on Operation Barnabas were a tool, a vessel, an instrument for noble purposes. And, you know, in watching them, we went to their time on Wednesday evening as well, where they showed us what they did for the kids as they went out for the 3 weeks. And you could see that they were certain that they were being used for noble purposes. They were confident in what God was doing in their lives and through them. And you know what? So were we. So were we. Third question. How can we experience God's cleansing practically in our lives, for you and for me? We see that in verse 22. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So it tells us there to turn away from something and turn towards something else, to become unattached from something and become attached to something else. Flee from the evil desires of youth. And that means run away from. And you know what? The verb there is in a continual tense. So it's like continually run away from this stuff. Run away from it. Flee constantly, all of your life. Habitually make this a practice of running away from evil desires of youth. We don't know what that is exactly. It doesn't confirm or specify exactly what is meant there. It does say, though, pursue something else. And that also means run after. Run after. Continually cultivate these habits. It's like 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. And I'll read it for you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. But godliness with contentment is great gain. If we brought nothing into the world, we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered away from faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And then verse 11, but you, man of God, flee all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Well, what are these youthful lusts? I guess we have to define it a little bit. Could be referring to sex outside of marriage. But in general, it's things that rob a mature person of their contentment with God. It's things that rob a mature person from their contentment with God. Could be love for money, lust for money. It's negative. Lust for power. Lust for control. Lust for admiration. Or lust for achievement. All those things fit into that youthful lust. And it's not enough just to go away from these things. But we have to fill ourselves with something else. And the verse ends with that. It tells us to pursue four things. First thing, pursue righteousness. And the idea there is uprightness. The Greek word is dikaiosune, and it refers to a state of the heart and the mind which is in harmony with God's word. The second thing we are to pursue, we're to pursue faith. The Greek word is pistis. It's a humble and dynamic confidence in God. We're to trust Him. We're to put our faith into action daily, the way we talk to people, the decisions we make, all those things. We're to pursue these things, pursue faith, pursue love. The word there is agape. It's a sacrificial type of love, a deep personal affection for God and His people. And also pursue peace. Eirene is the Greek word. It's an undisturbed, perfect understanding of our friendship with God. And a key thing there in verse 22 is to notice how the verb or the verse ends. It says, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know what? If somebody ever comes to you and says, hey, I need to stop going to church. I need to get my act together with God. I'm going to do that by myself. You know what? That should occur to you like a big warning flag. It's because this verse says what? We do it together. We do it together with people who love God. Christianity is not an island. We can just go out and do these things. We need God's people. We need the bride of Christ together to get this done. We used to read a book with my boys. We read a lot of books with our boys. But one of them says, God gave us two strong legs with which we can run and jump and have great fun. You know, one of the best protections that we have, that God has given His people, are two legs for running. For running. That's exactly what Joseph did when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife in Genesis chapter 39. And what David failed to do when he fell into sin with Bathsheba in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Remember, flee evil and pursue good. Experience God's cleansing experientially in your life. As we think about this passage today, do you have a desire to be used by God? Do you personally have a desire to be used by God? It should be there. The Holy Spirit should be knocking on your life often and saying, I can be used by God in this way. It should be there. Secondly, are you aware that there's a limited amount of time to get that done? James chapter 4, verse 14 says, our lives are like a vapor or a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. It's like this. I hope this works. Can you see it? A mist, a vapor. That's what our lives are like. They're there for a minute, and then they vanish. They're gone. We have a short amount of time to put these things into practice. And God's Spirit tells us to do these things. Take advantage of God's urging on your life today. Put these verses into practice. Flee evil and pursue those four things that are talked about in verse 23. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank You for your love for us. Thank you, God, that you don't make any junk, that the work that you've done in our lives is for a purpose, for a great reason. Lord, help us to realize this. Help us to know how to obey you. Help us to listen to your Spirit, read your word, and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Please stand for our final song.